Welcome to episode 4 of A Week at WEC, the special series of podcasts from the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi, looking back at and celebrating a milestone in environmental thinking and education in the capital of the UAE, the 12th World Environmental Education Congress 2024, held in Abu Dhabi. My name's Tim Elliott. I'm one of the presenters of the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi's podcast, Naturally Educated, along with Abdulrahman Al-Zabi. Now, WEC 2024 was an event held under the theme Connecting People, Creating Tomorrow. It was also an event directly aimed at young people, incorporating the Youth Environmental Education Congress that welcomed and, in fact, encouraged the youth voice. And so Abdulrahman and I spent our time at the event speaking to a host of speakers, visitors, and of course, young people to try to get to the heart of how they feel about ESD, Education for Sustainable Development. Here's the view of a young educator. Alexa Rose Pettinari is from the Global Schools Program. She's also head of sustainability at the International Schools Partnership, SG Straits International Education. She's based in Malaysia and she's with us at WEEC. Alexa, it's lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Good to have you here. You came running in yesterday and said, "Oh, I've got a story for you. Let's sit down tomorrow." And we said, "Fine." So here we are, sat down. I know you're in the Global Schools Program, but let's just set, before we go any further, what the Global Schools Program is and what it is that you do.
Okay, so the Global Schools Program, I am a project officer on their advocacy team, which means I deal directly with the advocates. And Global Schools, we train teachers in ESD, Education for Sustainable Development, and then we kind of guide them through their cohort process for 6 months. We keep track of what they're doing in their classrooms. We help them through any problems. We help them find solutions to their issues, and we kind of use it as a living laboratory. Basically, they've all got this network, a teacher's network, globally in multiple countries all around the world, and they can work through these problems that they find in their classroom together. Now, that data that we collect while they are doing those new programs, implementing these new strategies in their classrooms, we use those, and we also have case studies going on in other regions, and we use that data to influence policy in the favor of implementing ESD. So it's kind of a multi-tiered approach to getting ESD accepted all around the world. And we have a lot of advocates, and I talk to them all. So believe me, I know. It's the most challenging thing, I think, is the time zone changes, honestly. Trying to schedule a meeting where everybody can be there. But the Global Schools Program does that.
I'm just going to say, how do you get those policies, those frameworks integrated into curricula around the world? Because curricula is so diverse, that's one of the issues. But it's more a case of trying to inculcate the attitude, I guess. Is that a better way to describe it?
Yeah, I guess this is the most important thing. When people look at ESD from the outside and they're not teaching, so I am also a teacher, right? Yeah. I'm in the classroom every day. I do know how difficult it can be to implement these strategies. There is no one classroom that is exactly the same as another classroom. Even within the same country, the context is going to be different. You have different people in all the institutions across the world. So one framework may not be acceptable in implementing it globally, right? So we work with advocates to help them to establish their own framework for their context. Mm. How do you implement this? What is most acceptable? What works best in your context, really? Because it's so diverse. So I would say, like, in my context, it makes more sense for me to be the trainer on my campus first, because the other teachers may not know what ESD is. And in another school in India, for example, all the teachers already know what ESD is. So we can move on to a different step and we can implement it in a different way. And there's a lot of ESD material out there that is really focused on Western nations. So, like, let's grow an herb garden. You know, this was a lesson plan developed by a teacher in France. Well, if I go and try and grow rosemary in Malaysia, it's going to fail miserably. Or a composting project that worked in South Africa may not work in the UK. A really good example of that is when I tried to do a composting program in Malaysia, and then I realized we have animals that like compost a lot and they're very dangerous. So that was fun. I don't recommend it. So we really have to adapt all these projects that we do in our schools, like for each context. And that's what this whole program is about, working through those problems, seeing how the diversity changes things, and trying to get teachers to be empowered to find the solutions in their own communities by providing them with a network of solutions.
I'm just trying to, you know, capture the bigger image here of what the purpose of the Global Schools program is. And I love the fact that it's context dependent. Each school, as you mentioned, each country, et cetera, is different. I wonder how sustainability comes into that, because sustainability is, environmental and climate change, et cetera, is global, right? So how do you make sure that despite the differences, despite the context of each school, how do they have a unified message, unified goal at the end of the day?
This is actually, it ties in perfectly to what we did this morning here at the Global Cafe. So my colleague Raquel and I, we're both working with the Global Schools Program. We did a Global Cafe table. Every 10 minutes, you switch to a new group, right? And ours was on global perspective, our particular table. But the other ones were on the challenges in environmental education, achievements in environmental education, and opportunities. Mm-hmm. For us, the way that I explained it to the people at our table was, you have your global issue. You have climate change, right? Now, this is something that may feel kind of far away as an individual. So when you are sitting in your room in the middle of the day and you're like, climate change, that seems like it's so overbearing and it really depresses me and I feel out of touch. But you do feel that it's 50 degrees outside. You know, it's really hot. It's really unpredictable weather patterns. And you are an environmental educator that teaches in a forest school. But, you know, yesterday it was 25 degrees and today it's negative 25 degrees. And that was unpredictable. And now you can't go into your classroom. So to connect these two things, these diverse experiences locally, you work backwards, find the regional connection. So maybe if the local thing is that you're feeling extreme heat, the regional problem will be, you know, disaster preparedness on a national scale. And the global issue is climate change. And you work back through those steps with your students and you show them the connection from your personal experience to what the global issue is. That way you have more empathy, more compassion for people who are experiencing another branch of this same issue, another symptom of it, if you will. Mm. So this kind of critical thinking backwards is a huge component of ESD, of Education for Sustainable Development, and environmental education being a branch of that, because the three pillars of sustainability are environmental, social, and economic.
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
So EE is just one iteration of ESD as a whole.
Nice. Brilliant. I wonder if you can give us like a specific example from your experience when it comes to translating that information to students in the classroom.
Yeah. I teach a class called Global Perspectives.
Okay.
So, yeah,
you should
happens
be, you should
every
be the
day.
Expert.
it's a Cambridge curriculum class that there is an IGCSE exam for. So there is kind of a codified way in which to look at it. And like I said, it's the regional, the local, and the global perspective of something. So a good example would be, let's think about social equality and economy, right? So locally, I'm a woman and I maybe experience a gender wage gap. In the United States, there's a huge gender wage gap, right? Regionally or nationally, all women experience this, right? Mm-hmm. Globally, we can look at how the United States differs from other countries and what they are doing in these other countries that makes it less or more equal, right? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of compare and contrast these different situations. What are the local perspectives on this? Do the people that have more equality in gender pay, are they satisfied? Why are they satisfied? Why are they dissatisfied? What are the local perspectives on that? How does that relate back to the local perspectives in a place where there is less equality, right? So it is an interesting subject because there really is no right or wrong answer. It's just about how do you want to move forward and what is the problem that you're looking at? Why is a gender pay gap a problem? And I'm not going to tell you as your teacher. You have to tell me why that's a problem from your perspective and then look at it from somebody else's perspective. So maybe this person over here doesn't think that it's a problem. Maybe they think that it's right that women are being paid less. But if they cannot back it up with a reason, then their point is kind of invalid, right?
Fair, fair.
As long as you can argue your point and it makes sense and it falls in line with sustainable development goals, then it is a sustainable solution or a sustainable proposition.
Mm. It kind of highlights again that it's about so much more than just the climate or the crisis that we see through climate change or the fact that there is habitat loss or biodiversity loss. It's this interconnectedness that sustainable development goals are trying to get across to people. And I think there's still a bit of a disconnect in that. We all think, oh, we've got to be green. But actually, it's about a lot more than that. There are cultural issues here. There are social issues here. There are environmental issues here as well. And it's a whole, it's almost a new process of learning, Alexa.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I would say it's cyclical, if you will.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, it really feeds off of itself. Like you have to, when you're teaching ESD, it's not just about content. I mean, I can teach you all day about how many polar bears are dying, but does that really give you the skills to do anything about it? No, it has to be skills-based learning. And personally, I mean, don't go at my boss about this at Cambridge or anything, but I think there needs to be assessment reform. I don't think that sitting and taking a standardized test is going to be a good show of value of what you have learned in skills, right? Yeah. Now, I will say the Global Perspectives Exam in the Cambridge IGCSE is a little bit more in the right direction, where I can teach you all day about all the content that is going to be on that exam, but it's not going to help you when it comes to the exam because your skill is based on how you can interpret information and how you can extrapolate from the given material in front of you what another perspective on this issue might be, or how to identify within two or three different pieces what the different perspectives are. And I think that is a way in the right direction. But I do think that project-based learning and project-based assessment is a much more valuable way of assessing what students are capable of doing and what they know. So you identify a problem, and that right there is a skill that I noticed a lot of people don't have.
That's true.
Being able to identify problems in their community. What is the problem? They're like, this is unfair. Why? Why is it unfair? What is the root cause of that issue that you're having? So we see a lot of symptomatic treatment, but not really the true illness, right? For lack of a better phrase.
It's like we have to relearn the way we teach and reteach the way we learn. It's almost as though we need, there's a sea change needed. I wanted to ask you about how we encourage that modern word change makers, because we've heard that a lot. But how do you inspire? Because that's really where it starts. You've got to, passion doesn't come from nowhere. Passion comes from a spark of interest or a book that you read or a song that you hear or, I don't know, a poem that is read to you or something. How do you inspire as a teacher, and how do we make sure that we're training teachers and keeping that spark alive in the teachers, in the educators? It's a really tough question. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it's so important.
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that really boils down to what you can empathize with. And that will probably be like the core for me, the core of the passion for something would be the ability to empathize with it. You feel that this is important. You know what it is. You are upset. You are angry, you are happy, you are whatever it is, and that forces you to do. It gives you the motivation to do action, right? I will say, I'll go ahead and quote Paulo Freire, my favorite pedagogist, right? Education is politics. Mm. All education is political, and teaching is never a neutral act. Everything that you do in the classroom does have some kind of sway on a mind. You are there longer every single day with these students than their parents are. You have more influence over what these students are going to do in your classroom. And for lack of a better word, you can manipulate the way that they see the world, right? And that is a huge responsibility. Now, whether or not you can take that and just go ahead and build your own little private army is one way of looking at it. Or you can force them to, or manipulate them to have their own opinion about something, to think critically about the things that they see in front of them, to see the problems and develop solutions that are from gathered from all different perspectives. Like, they don't have to fit into one box and see the world the way that it is just here, just right in front of them. It's so important, especially with the way that our society has globalized so much. I mean, just in my lifetime, you know, I'm not that old, but I remember dial-up, right? Like, I didn't have the internet. I didn't have a phone to look at the dinner table when we were out at dinner. I was, like, playing with crayons and, like, you know, ruining the table. But it's so globalized now. I mean, a two-year-old can call another two-year-old on the other side of the planet and play a video game with them. That's absolutely insane. And this sort of behaviors that we've, this cultivation of globalization, I think it really provides us a unique opportunity to finally have a global ethic. We can create a global culture and a global ethic that all agrees on one thing, that it's important for our planet to exist, that it's important for us to exist. It's important for us to not blow each other up, to all get along, to really build a new future that is focused on sustainability, on continuing, on exploring other planets, on exploring deeper in our oceans, on exploring deeper within ourselves, you know, philosophy, all these different things that we could be doing with a global ethic that would make it so much easier. We'd have such... We can keep diversity, but we have the same idea that diversity is valuable.
And that's the important differentiation to make, isn't it? Because this is not you encouraging a global ethic in that you should think the way I think. This is encouraging people to think critically. And that's not to the detriment of local cultures, civilizations, ways of schooling, whatever it might be. It's just being able to identify that we all agree that actually having the Earth is probably good, simply put.
Exactly. I guess so, yeah.
Okay. Look, it's been fascinating to talk to you. It's been really cool. Alexa Rose Pettinari is Head of Sustainability with the SG Straits International Education. It says SDN here.
Straits International School, Penang.
Straits International School, there you
go. It's under the International Schools Partnership.
Okay, and she's also with the Global Schools Program. Thank you for talking
to us.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks.
The Young Educator's View of ESD, Education for Sustainable Development, from WEC 2024 in Abu Dhabi. Thanks to Alexa for coming to share her thoughts with us at the Youth Pavilion. Next time on A Week at WEC, a guest who flew in all the way from Costa Rica to participate at WEC, Miriam Villela, is the Executive Director of the Earth Charter International Secretariat and the Center for Education for Sustainable Development at UPEACE.